radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
You just hang right there and just play the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Play the quarterback. As soon as he snaps, you step in front of it, go pick.
Yes, sir.
Tell you.
Swarm, mother lover. Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Thursday, January 18th, 2024. You just heard the head coach of our beloved Houston Texans, DeMeco Ryans, tipping off Christian Harris on how to pick off Joe Flacco. Is DeMeco Ryans clairvoyant? Is DeMeco Ryans psychic? I know a bald guy who was psychic. His name was Professor X. He was a character in the X-Men. You know who else is bald? DeMeco Ryans. Coincidence? Now, DeMeco's not in a wheelchair. We're glad to see that the NFL has not put him in one. But hey, he might be clairvoyant. And or just a really, really good football coach. As we get closer and closer to Saturday's game, I am maintaining my level of vibes. I'm feeling good. I've got no fear of the Texans laying an egg. I think the Texans will cover. But I'm also not a dummy. I think they're going to need all the help that they can get on Saturday. The Ravens have won the last six games they've tried. The last three against teams that we, at least in the moment, considered to be very good, and they did it in convincing fashion against the Jaguars, against the 49ers, against the Dolphins. And last week, the football gods seemed to smile on the Texans. It wasn't just that Robert Woods and Noah Brown were back on the offensive side of things. It wasn't just that Will Anderson was healthy, that Jonathan Grenard was healthy. It was also that Browns cornerback Denzel Mims in that game, he was clearly limited. I mean, the Browns were just not very good in coverage. And I like Nico Collins a lot, but I think Denzel was not the Denzel that he was expecting to be on that Sunday. So a lot of things went the Texans' way. You take any help you can get. There's nothing wrong with beating somebody when they're not 100%. This is the NFL. It's a marathon. Marathons suck. Not a sprint. But yesterday was the opposite for the Texans. Bad developments on the injury front. First, Will Anderson, Jonathan Grenard went in the wrong direction. They were both out of practice Wednesday after being limited in practice on Tuesday. Jerry Hughes out as well. So, not looking so great when it comes to defensive end depth. Sheldon Rankins out as well. Probably the one area where you don't want to be limited is your defensive line when you're going up against someone like Lamar Jackson or a team that runs the football as well as Baltimore does. So, that's not going well for you. And on the other side of things, the Ravens got tight end Mark Andrews 100% back in terms of participants at practice. He was a full participant. First time he's been that in months. He was on IR after an, I think, ankle injury that he suffered on a hip drop tackle, whatever the hell that means. It seems to be in vogue. You shouldn't allow the hip drop tackle. What's a hip drop tackle? Well, I don't know, but it's bad. Don't do it. It's illegal. No, it's a big guy. It's one of the only ways you can bring him down. So Mark Andrews was fully back at practice, probably the second best tight end in the NFL, at least top five. He was asked if he will play on Saturday, said this, quote, knowing how good this team is, how good our players are, how good our tight ends are, if I feel like I'm going to be helpful to the team, I'm going to go. if I feel like I'm close but not there, I'm going to let these guys go and hopefully get there next weekend. So I guess we need to all tell Mark Andrews that the tight ends in the tight end room are great. They've got the tightest ends. You know? Just a bunch of Megan Thee Stallions in there. Although I guess that's big. Whatever. Hey, we got to convince Mark Andrews that, like, hey, the teammates got this. And he was somewhat limited in that week one game between the Texans and Ravens. So all that to say, it seems right now, November 18th, 2024, at 10:06 Central Time, that things aren't going in the right direction for the Texans, at least from a luck, from a fortune perspective. Sean Mapes, is this bringing your vibes down?
No, not really. I think Mark Andrews coming back, that's like to be expected. The more of it is the Texans side of things, with it feeling like Will Anderson backsliding, Jonathan Gernard backsliding. I guess it doesn't. It's not too surprising considering they played an NFL game. So chances are, after you play an NFL game, your body feels worse than before you played in an NFL game. Like Jonathan Gernard, yeah, he sat for 2 weeks, was feeling good. Then he played an NFL game. Now he's feeling worse. What happened? It's like, I don't know, probably having to run into an offensive lineman 50 times a day or a game.
Maybe he woke up like I did the last couple of days with a little plantar fasciitis.
Oh, really?
No fun.
Wow.
I had to wear
questionable for Saturday's postgame show.
If
the team needs you.
If the team needs me, I'll be there.
Wait. Do you think you developing plantar fasciitis this week has anything to do with you walking 1.1 miles to work on Tuesday?
I can't say.
Okay.
I can't say, okay. But I will say that I was not wearing my shoes. I was wearing my waterproof boots.
Mm.
And I'm not exactly sure those boots are made for walking.
Okay. Poor craftsman blames his tools.
Right. Well, I've heard that before. But, yeah, it seems like instead of, the boots walking, that the plantar fasciitis is walking all over me. I slept last night. This is how you know you're getting old, 34 years old. I slept last night with a stirrup on my right foot because of my Achilles feeling a little bit weird. And look, still going to the gym, still full participant at practice. So I might be listed as questionable, but I really just want to be listed as questionable for Saturday so that, one, it seems like I'm tough.
Mm-hmm.
And two,
so they can't game plan. We don't know what the game plan for.
Exactly. So no one knows what the game plan for in the postgame show. And by the way, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, we will have a postgame show.
Should we double Josh Beard? I don't know. But if Gallant plays, then we can't. If he isn't, then yeah, we'll double Beard.
Listen, if Gallant plays, how loud will it be? How loud will we need to adjust our volume?
Yeah. Everyone in the city of Houston's like, you know what? Let's knock it down a couple decibels just to be sure. Let's knock down our car radio a little bit.
Todd the Show comments, I can't wait until you have kids. Then you can be tired and sore. Yeah, that's why I'm not having kids. There's many reasons.
I can't wait for you to get a second cat so you can be tired and sore.
I mean, Aria's a difficult lady.
Handful.
She's a difficult lady to take care of. But, yeah, I'm going to fight through the plantar fasciitis and do that show on Saturday. I walked to work this week. Some of my coworkers did work from their fancy home offices.
No,
I'm built
plantar
different.
Fasciitis for all the people that just, you know, walked into a different room of their house to do the show.
Yeah. I mean, look, Sean, I've done an hour on the elliptical already this week.
Whoa.
You know, we did a chest day. We did arms day. We're doing leg day today. And then we're going to do a live stream later. I am built different. I'm ready for the playoffs, baby. But we do need to get all of those key Texans back on the field. Not a great day, but it's not going to ruin my vibes. Not going to ruin my vibes. You know what else isn't going to ruin my vibes? The Ravens signing a secret weapon. I'm so tired of hearing this running back's name. Not quite as tired as I was of hearing Cam Akers' name over like the last 5 years. Cam Akers has never been good. Never been good. Almost lost, cost the Rams their Super Bowl run with all those fumbles he had against the Bucks.
He was good at FSU.
Was he even good at fantasy football? Like,
actually, both these guys were good at FSU.
That's right. Dalvin Cook. The Ravens, they cut Melvin Gordon. They signed Dalvin Cook. Oh, no.
Yeah.
You know, I got to say, I'm kind of enthused about this because he's – how many teams has he played for this year?
This would be his third.
Right.
Right? It was Vikings, Jets, Ravens now?
Yeah, I think so. Actually, no, I don't think the Vikings re-signed him.
Oh, yeah. Or I think he got traded – or no, maybe it wasn't. Just
here's the thing: he's not good anymore. Like no. That, the fact that we are not even sure where he played this year, when he played, he's not good anymore. But I know there will be some people out there that are like Dalvin Cook.
Any carry that Dalvin Cook gets on Saturday, pre-win for the Texans,
legitimately.
Just, boom.
I hope that they give it to Dalvin Cook as many plays as possible. One of the things that is fortunate for the Texans on the injury front, the Ravens had a running back that was averaging 8 yards a carry, Keaton Mitchell, and he's out because he tore his ACL a couple of weeks ago. So it really is, for the Ravens, going to probably come down to, once again, on the ground, what Lamar Jackson can do. And the Texans did a very good job of keeping him in check in week one. But if there's no Will Anderson, and there's no Jonathan Greenard, and you don't have Sheldon Rankins, and there's no Jerry Hughes, and there's a banged-up Malik Collins, then, I mean, it's going to be tough. It's not impossible, but it puts a much higher burden on your linebackers, on Blake Cashman, on Christian Harris. Can they handle it? Sure. But, I mean, Lamar Jackson's legs are probably the difference maker in this game, just based off of what we've seen in these cold-weather games. If you can't throw the ball, or if guys can't catch the ball, and if Derek Stingley's shutting down Zay Flowers, then what is Lamar going to do? The guy can run. We all know that. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're trying to find as much motivational fuel as we possibly can for the Houston Texans and to help them avoid the rat poison. Luckily, a Texans legend has some words of wisdom for them, and I can't believe people are still pushing this slander on C.J. Stroud. We'll discuss both next. This is the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, the best sports radio station in Houston. Well, on FM, that is. The Veritex Community Bank Studios. It's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Look, people, the Texans need motivation. You got to get to that next level. Where do you get that motivation from? You can't get it from all the rat poison out there, like ESPN posting that the Houston Texans had the best draft class in 2023. Nope, got to ignore that. Sometimes you need somebody who's been there and done that to highlight that this is an opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted. Are you going to capture it? Or let it slip. Here's Texans legend, the GOAT, J.J. Watt, on the Pat McAfee Show.
You, on one hand, while you think you're playing with house money and whatever happens from this point, yeah. But on the other hand, like, the opportunities in this league are so hard and so difficult and sometimes so rare to come by that once you have that in front of you and once you realize how special it is, like, this is a chance to go out there and get something done. And yes, you, for Houston, you have a rookie quarterback, you have a head coach in his first year. You're looking at the future and you're saying, this is incredibly bright. We can sign more free agents this offseason. We can go out and really build ourselves something special for years to come. But there's also that part of you that's like, let's catch lightning in a bottle. Let's do something special, unbelievable right now, right here, because maybe these young guys are naive enough to not even understand how special this situation is, so they don't get affected by the pressure because they're just enjoying it. They're living it. They're being, there's got, like, I do think there is something to be said for taking advantage of that opportunity when you get it, because you don't know when it's going to come around again.
That is a fantastic point by JJ. And you've heard the Texans players asked about playing with house money, specifically CJ Stroud, Jonathan Grenard this week, where they're saying, no, we're not thinking like that. Good, they shouldn't. The 2011-2012 Houston Texans are a perfect example of that. The 2011 and 2012 season, that was their run. That was it. And then 2013, a lot of expectations going into the next year, and they go 2-14, Kubiak's out of a job. There are a lot of weird things that happened over the course of that year, but look at Dan Marino's career. Gets to a Super Bowl his rookie year. Never goes back. It is weird to think of it like this, because right now I believe all of us are of the mindset of, oh man, this is going to be the start of an incredible Texans run. And it might be, 100%, but this is one of those years where you don't really feel like any of the teams in the AFC are leaps and bounds above everybody. The Ravens have by far the most impressive resume. Don't get me wrong. They should be the favorites for this game on Saturday. But this might be the best opportunity that the Texans get. They might have overachieved. They might have taken advantage of the fact that they were in the AFC South and playing a last-place schedule, and quite honestly, having a schedule that after the Baltimore Ravens, take a look at that resume, like, who's really impressive other than the win that they had against the Cincinnati Bengals, you know? But if you're given a chance like this, are you going to take advantage of it? Like, the first year, the Cincinnati Bengals shocked the bleep out of all of us and got all the way to the Super Bowl. They lost, but, I mean, they almost won that thing. No one expected them to go into Kansas City. When no one expected them to go on that run. Everyone looked at Zach Taylor, and they were like, who the F is this guy? He's Zach Taylor? Like the very forgettable president? I don't know if he's the one who died, like, after 12 days in office.
No.
Is that William Henry Harrison?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's been president's talk on the Paul Gallant show.
Listen, we do know history.
I do agree, though, that I think that Dan Marino is a very good example of this. I also think of, you mentioned the 2012 Houston Texans. I think of the 2012, it's a different sport, the 2012 Oklahoma City Thunder with Durant, Westbrook, Harden, all of which that were in their early 20s. And you think, oh yeah, this, it's going to be Thunder Heat for the next the next 8 years. And they didn't make another finals. Durant made another finals when he went to Golden State.
They did have that lead on Golden State, obviously, which they blew.
Yes, but, I mean, Harden individually hasn't been to another final. Westbrook individually has not been to another final. So
Harden broke it up because he was partying too much in Miami. They traded him.
Yeah, and they also didn't want to pay him. they were like, you know what, give us Kevin Martin instead.
Don't you kind of understand why, though, after that finals performance and perhaps what teammates may have been saying about him, seeing as Kendrick Perkins is now like revealing
I would have wanted the guy that was the best player on a playoff team for 8 straight years to be my third best player, but that's just me. I don't know.
I would have
kept him. I would have kept him and rolled the dice.
fair enough. But to what you said, you're right. Like,
you don't know like that this will be some long Texans run.
We
like,
hope it will be.
In the NFL, that just doesn't happen.
It has all the makings of it, but right, like it sometimes this doesn't go down that way. So they're the underdogs, clearly. I'm not ruling anything out with this team because I really do think that with D'Amico Ryans and with CJ Stroud, they have a chance in any game that they play. But I am very happy that they're all saying, yeah, the house money thing is something we ignore. And JJ's right there. You know, like his first 2 years were the best two chances he had to win a Super Bowl with the Texans. And how close were they even those 2 years, too, you know? Because 2014 through 2020, I mean, that was, I always felt like there was a very clear level that they were not at, even when they had Deshaun Watson under center.
Yeah, even the, I mean, partially because of injuries, but the 2011-2012 team, you're just like, I don't know. I don't think they're going to beat the Pats or Ravens. Like, I don't think they will.
Exactly. I felt the same way. I was like, my big thing was, and again, I was fresh out of Boston, but I was like, you're not the Patriots. Sorry. Yeah. Like,
sorry, dude.
Sorry,
dude. We got Tom Brady.
Yeah, we got Tom Brady, dude. What do you got? Oh, you got Matt Schaub?
Yeah. Huh? Now we got Jerod Mayo,
Harry
bro.
Foster. Yeah, I know. Don't. Well, that, hey, he does see color. That'll go over, I'm sure, great with Bostonians.
I would just love to know what the phone lines sound like on the.
Yeah, this Gerard Mayo dude, he sucks. Why don't we get an offensive minded dude? What is going on here? Let's bring it back to the Texans. We're looking for ways to motivate the Houston Texans, and I believe that this also qualifies as rat poison. Houston sports artist Mark Drew dropped a new track about your beloved Houston Texans.
H-Town, how about them Texans, baby?
How about them?
Look. It goes A7M. These other teams, you ain't sweating him. If you bet against the boy, I bet you won't bet again. He ain't even need the times, he can come settle in. Cause right away, he making sure that none of y'all ever win. Now tell me this, who the rookie? Cause I just can't tell. It don't matter who he go against, he just can't fail. Every hit the face gon' turn to blue like Kane Trill. He been ballin', just imagine if he had Tank Dell. But every analyst will tell you he ain't ready for the pros yet. I swear he looking ready when he's slice him up with no sweat. It's Houston versus everyone. These other fans are Finnegan. Cause if you booking up, we turn the hater into Finnegan. Well, when we pull up to your stadium, it's now a property. A year ago, they said the team would operate in poverty. So someone had to step it up. It's Houston, dog, we gotta be. The state of Texas needs a team to represent them properly.
Say go, yeah. CJ. Say go, CJ. Go, CJ. Say go,
damn.
CJ.
I love this one. I know, Sean, you've not been as big of a Mark Drew fan as me. I gotta say, making haters look like Finnegan, that is the line of the effing century.
That was good. I like this one better than the Astros ones that we played. I think partially because it was against the Twins and the ALDS, it was hard to be like, yeah, got them. It's hard to get fired up for being the Twins.
But if you're the underdogs, this is good. But
yes, I think that's what it is. I think I can enjoy this as being the underdog more.
Here's the thing,
imagine
though.
Imagine if they had Tank Dell.
Also a great line. Here's the thing, though. The Texans have to ignore that. That's rat poison.
Yes.
Rat poison. That's for us, not for them.
Fans' ears only.
Right. Earmuffs for the Texans. For us, we can listen to that.
Although I do like it when other fans talk about, like, guys, we need to be focused for this game on Saturday. It's like, I mean, sure, I guess, but not really. Like, we can look ahead.
Someone texted in on the most interactive sports show in Houston. Is there a Mark Drew curse? The Astros? The Longhorns? ... Texans? Huh? Is he the new Ted Cruz? I'm not saying that.
I didn't know he had, don't put that on Mark Drew. We like Mark Drew.
We like Mark Drew.
I said I didn't get fired up for the twin songs. I'm not ready to slap him with the Ted Cruz label, all right?
I got some chips for the Texans to use as fuel. The Athletic put out a piece today. It's by Jeff Howe. And the title is CJ Stroud in a better situation than Bryce Young. It's so funny that we're here. I vividly remember going into the year that Bryce Young had the best situation to succeed in the NFL. The best! And we change our minds, and no one admits that they were wrong. Everyone just changes their mind. Oh, no, Bryce Young's situation was terrible. He's 5'10". He's 5'10".
That situation is bad.
The situation is bad. He is also my size. And I'm not going to act like I knew what was happening going into the draft, but I watched him play the first two games, and he looks and plays small, and I don't think it's going to work right now. I don't. It might. I could be wrong, but based off of the little bit I've watched of Carolina Panthers football, including that game against the Texans, where he looked good, I am very skeptical about Bryce Young. I hope he proves me wrong. I like Bryce Young. He was fun to watch at Alabama, but doesn't look great. But this article, Sean, has an executive who is really all about, like, yeah, if you change situations, CJ wouldn't succeed. An executive from another team. I want to guess who this executive is. Houston has a better situation. If you drop Stroud in Carolina, would he have the same success? No way in hell. There are a lot of failures there in Carolina, continued this executive. It's not all on Bryce. Carolina had no run game or playmakers. What about Adam Thielen? Racism. And the offensive line was a mess. You tried to drop a unique quarterback into a bad situation, and you can't protect him. I mean, going into this year, did anyone think that the Texans had a good group of skill players. Nico Collins has proven a lot of people wrong. Tank Dell, what a find, what a steal. But sometimes the quarterback makes the players around him better. Yeah. Would have thought.
Yeah, I mean, going into the season, we thought that, and we're right, that the tackles were going to be good for the Texans when healthy, and we thought they were going to be healthy all year.
Yeah.
And Shaq Mason, they just traded for Shaq Mason. And so we're like, the offensive line is what the Texans, is the best part of the Houston Texans. It was the best part of the Texans going into the year.
Screwed up completely by week one.
Yes, it got nuked in the Ravens game.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned, Michael Dieter had to play right tackle for exactly one play.
It got nuked after the nuke. It was Nagasaki after Hiroshima. What? Those are the two nuclear events that have happened.
I know. I watched Oppenheimer.
Okay.
I know. I know a little thing about.
You know about nukes?
I know what happened.
Big boy?
Watched Cillian Murphy.
Oh. Did you watch Florence Pugh?
Can't wait for that to be streaming on Peacock.
Keep going. We were talking about
Oppenheimer.
Something.
Oh, let me
not Oppenheimer.
The interrogation.
The
scene.
Offensive line
oh,
got
the
hurt.
The offensive line got hurt, and like you said, CJ Stroud made the Texans' weapons good. it made them look good because going into the season, like no one had high hopes about Nico Collins. People were like, maybe he shows out a little bit.
Yeah.
We didn't think he would have more receiving yards this year than he had in the rest of his career combined. We didn't think that Tank Dell would be anything more than like, oh yeah, nice little piece, a little kind of like a gadget player, throw him in the slot. He was an absolute weapon for this offense before he got hurt.
Top 10 rookie this year.
Yeah, and Devin Singletary turned out to be better than Damian Pierce. He's not like... You know, he's not exactly prime Derrick Henry back there, but he's a solid running back. Helped them win the Cincinnati Bengals game. So, yeah, I do think that a lot of this comes from the trickle down of how much better CJ Stroud is than Bryce Young, then makes the surrounding talent better.
Yeah, I'm with you, and it's weird that this keeps getting brought up. Is it just people that can't admit they were wrong about Bryce Young versus CJ Stroud? By the way, it shouldn't be that hard to admit you were wrong about Bryce Young versus CJ Stroud. No one knows an effing thing about these quarterbacks before they come into the draft. We learn this every single year, and yet, for whatever reason, we continue to be confident as F going into every single April. I don't get it. I really don't.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, everyone kind of has a big out with, because I don't think there's anyone that said Bryce Young's size will not be a problem.
Right. Like, that's why everyone
was like, you could always go, well, yeah, I mean, he looks even smaller on an NFL field than he did in the SEC. So that's where I went wrong. I underestimated how small of a guy he is. And you could just twist that into being right. I mean, you're still wrong. It's just you're wrong in a more excusable way.
100%.
You don't have to go like, you know what? I didn't think that Ike Ekwonu and Miles Sanders, like, I know I said that they're better in August, but now, after watching them play, they're worse.
I hope CJ Stroud subscribes to The Athletic. More chips.
Yes.
For the fuel.
Yeah. Hey, The Athletic says you stink.
Yeah.
He says a system quarterback. That's what The Athletic says.
Right. You
product of the Houston Texans system.
The esteemed Houston Texans system. Also, more motivation for the Texans? Do the Texans look at this Ravens diet and think to themselves, the Ravens don't take us seriously? Because the Ravens have eaten 7,500 Uncrustables this year. Uncrustables. Uncrustables are really good. Especially if it's like cold. Oof. It's cold Uncrustables. You know, you got that jelly peanut butter mix. It's perfect. But I mean, no crust, no nutrition. And on top of that, like, they're just eating a bunch of snacks all season long.
Yeah.
And they feel enabled by that after blowing out the Texans in week one. They don't take you seriously. Chip, there's some chip for your shoulders. There's some fuel for the motivation. Play some Fort Minor in the background, baby. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Up next in the 10-minute drill. We learned a lot about the state of coaching in the NFL yesterday because two teams are not firing their head coach, at least as of 10:33 on January 18th, 2024. Let's play matchmaker with some other coaching jobs across the NFL. It's the Paul Galacho. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 on YouTube. Dracula Flow.
I took two limitless pills to limit myself. We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush.
Tackling the biggest issues in the NFL.
This just in.
Here's the 10-Minute Drill with Paul Gallant.
Football time.
You have confidence in, if you do come back, that confidence in him if he's also the head coach.
Like any news about, what about Nick?
Nick, I mean, there's obviously some speculation about whether he may be fired or not. Yeah.
Come on, man. No, man, the head football coach of this team, man. Come on, man. There ain't even no discussion about
okay,
that.
Yeah, okay, you don't think it's going
to
happen?
Like, I don't got nothing to say about that, man. You're a clown, bro. Get out of my face, bro.
That's Eagles defensive lineman Fletcher Cox when asked about winner head coach Nick Sirianni, who has made it to the playoffs in charge of the Eagles 3 years in a row. Though one of those years is definitely not like the two others, because in two of those years, the Eagles have gotten waxed by the Bucks in the first round of the playoffs. One of those years, the Eagles made it all the way to a Super Bowl. Huh. But while we're talking about Nick Sirianni, Sirianni reportedly will not be fired as Eagles head coach. He and Howie Roseman, the Eagles general manager, have been reaching out to available NFL coaches and coordinators to be the next offensive coordinator, which is strange because Sirianni already stripped himself of offensive play calling duties. And on top of that, Sirianni also, Sean Mapes, has employed Matt Patricia, unironically, to try and fix his defense in a post-Shane Steichen and Jonathan Gannon world. It is, I would say, a bad idea for the Eagles to continue with Nick Sirianni, especially when Jalen Hurts is not endorsing him at the end-of-season press conference.
Yes, it turns very quickly into the office space. So what exactly would you say that you do here if you're not going to call plays on one side of the ball? But then also, it seems like you've lost the locker room. And we also don't really trust you to make the hires for the coordinator positions. I don't know what his case for keeping the job, other than the Eagles brass just looking around and going, well, it'd be kind of weird if we fired a guy 1 year after making the Super Bowl, which is not the way you should operate as a franchise.
If you don't think this situation is fixable, there is only one answer, and I believe we should allow a former United States, possibly future United States president, to take it from here. It's the only thing the Eagles should do.
You're fired. You're fired. You're fired. You're fired.
You're fired.
That's, yes. That, especially, and we'll talk about this with another NFC East team coming up. Especially with this coaching free agent class, or even the coordinators are pretty good. It's the Ravens defensive coordinator, the Lions offensive coordinator. It's
Mike McDonald, Ben Johnson, Bill Belichick, Mike Vrabel,
Bobby Slowick, Jim Harbaugh.
Harbaugh is the real.
You like me slipping in Bobby Slowick in between Belichick and Harbaugh?
Yeah, I'm sort of ignoring that because I'm a
Dan
little
Quinn.
I'm a little skeptical. Yeah, Dan Quinn. By the way, there's some fun Titans retreads to go through. So I think this is where you need Donnie to come in there and just drop
deliver
some,
the hard news.
Look, it's an uncomfortable truth, but hey, that's what he delivers when he's not saying bad things that everyone gets mad about.
You're fired.
Fire him. Meanwhile, you got Mike McCarthy, who also will not be fired as Cowboys head coach. I think this situation is different. I do not think Mike McCarthy is the problem. We touched on this when talking about the Cowboys' loss. Yeah, they got out of bed slow, but I mean, what is Mike McCarthy supposed to hold their hand out there? They have won a lot of games the last couple of years. I don't think that's largely due to Mike McCarthy, but what? It's Mike McCarthy's fault the defense sucked. It's Mike McCarthy's fault that Dak Prescott's Dak Prescott. The players seem to like him, so I think this situation is a little bit different. I think this situation is like in Bar Rescue. Like, you need to bring in somebody to fix this because the pieces are all there. They are. Maybe not with Dak Prescott. You might need to move Dak Prescott to like hostess or something like that instead of behind the bar.
No more cocktail. I don't trust him to make a cocktail.
Listen, Dak does great until after midnight where he starts ripping shots.
Yeah.
Dak does great until the playoffs.
Hey, wait, is this mold in the icebox?
What does John Taffer do when he comes into a bar? He lights people up, but then he brings them back up.
You are a failure in here, and everything about this is a failure.
That's a great show, Bar Rescue. More than anyone in the world, I want to have John Taffer in studio with me. He follows me on Twitter. He has not responded to my DMs.
Yeah, I mean, he would have to be in Houston for something.
I know. Listen, we're not big enough yet. Eventually, we'll get there. We're not big enough yet. We're going to have John Taffer on this show someday.
God, we need to just be able to stay on the air long enough to Houston to host a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I assume he'll be here on Radio Row, and we can maybe get him then.
John Taffer's a leader of men. I think John Taffer would be a good football coach.
I also think that.
If he employs coordinators that actually know the football.
And he already does that.
Pretty much.
He'll break off, and he'll have the mixologist come in and teach these.
Oh, yeah. They're always super extra mixologists.
I don't want to call these people mixologists.
Yeah, their hair's like green.
These bartenders at these awful bars.
Yeah.
He teaches them, they have the mixologist teach them how to make three drinks all have a pun.
My favorite part about that show, Sean, is when he leaves and then they go back like a couple months later and almost always the place is worse.
Yeah. Or it's like they were able to sell it. He was able to sell it for a little bit of, not profit, but get some money out of it.
Yeah, there you go. That's honestly what you need. Okay, let's talk about the other coaching vacancies, because the Cowboys and Eagles are not vacancies. Let's play Matchmaker. Ever see the hit musical Fiddler on the Roof? Anyone? No? It's a great musical. Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. I'm going to play Matchmaker right now.
Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match.
It would suck to live in.
Find me a find. Catch me a catch.
Suck to live in Eastern Europe and you got like a matchmaker determining who you marry.
Yeah. Or, the place in the world with arranged marriages. Even, I would think about that, and we'll get to the Falcons and Titans soon. I was thinking that with Game of Thrones, where they had to, like, political marriages. I'm like, that would suck so bad. I would hate that so much.
I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free.
To
and since I have a penis, I'm even freer. And I got the white privilege. I've got it all. USA! Born in the USA! All right, let's play Matchmaker.
Titans.
By the way, I'm just going to offer the worst possible solution for the Titans. They've interviewed, get this, the son of Bill Callahan twice. Brian Callahan, who is the Bengals offensive coordinator but doesn't call plays. They also interviewed Dan Quinn. Titans do it. Brian Callahan. Hell, Bill Callahan. We need you to stay true to who you are.
Does Mike Mularkey have a son?
Mike Mularkey Jr.
Brian Mularkey. Can we find a Brian Mularkey, please?
Okay. F the Titans. We hope that you totally screw this one up.
Die in a hole.
Right. Yeah.
Next.
If we're John Taffer, we go into the Titans organization and we walk out because we could do nothing.
I can't fix this.
I can't fix this. I'm out. You're a failure. The Falcons canned Arthur Smith. They love Bill Belichick. It would be funny to bring in Bill Belichick here. I got to say, though, I think this is maybe the best situation, quarterback aside, because of all the weapons that they have to work with that are all on rookie deals still at this moment in time. But I think this is the Jim Harbaugh move. Jim Harbaugh. Do you think he's going to have any powers with control, or excuse me, any issues with control in Atlanta? I think Arthur Blank's like, yo, it's been bad. I'm going to let this guy do whatever he wants. They have Bijan Robinson. They like running the football. Sean's going to be happy. Bijan's going to get his numbies. They're going to be a hard-nosed, run-the-football kind of team. And Harbaugh's probably going to find some quarterback that he can get a lot more out of than most other teams can, Colin Kaepernick, or Alex Smith. I think Atlanta should be going all in on Jim Harbaugh. It makes the most sense. Let him run the whole damn thing. Who's in Atlanta right now that you feel like needs to run things more than him? Give it to him.
And Arthur Blank seems like the type of 80-year-old billionaire who is going to be like, I just want a Super Bowl any means necessary. Like, Jerry Jones wants a Super Bowl, but he wants it to be the Jerry Jones Super Bowl. Arthur Blank, I feel like, is like, nope, come in and win a Super Bowl. I don't care how it happens.
Yeah, he doesn't. And look, doesn't he own the Home Depot or something like that? Like, yeah, the guy's got money. Anyway, Chargers, this is Bill Belichick's job. It's in San Diego. It's by the water. He gets a boat. It's in L.A. He gets a car. He gets his pick of like of all the Cougs that are living in Beverly Hills and the likes. He's got a quarterback. It worked when he had a quarterback, and they were such a disaster of an organization. Like I've heard stories about how much of a mess it was with Brandon Staley. If they have a good coach, this is the job for Belichick. Does he respect the Spanos family? I don't know, but I think the Chargers and Belichick, match made in heaven. Seahawks, Dan Quinn. He was there before. If Pete Carroll's sticking around, everyone's going to be happy if Dan Quinn comes there. Raiders, stay with Antonio Pierce. You had Rich Bisaccia the last time, and you moved on from him. It was working with Bisaccia, it seemed. Seems like it was working with Pierce. See what happens with the interim coach. Well, actually, roll the dice and see what happens. He seemed to be doing a pretty good job. They had Aiden effing O'Connell under center. No one talked about how good he was because he's Irish, and people always trying to keep us Irish people down. Oh, let's talk about Tommy DeVito. Oh, he's flashy. He's got a chain. He got benched after two games. Never was actually good. Somehow won NFC Player of the Week. His agent's a clown. The Commanders. Who do the Washington Commanders hire? This one's tricky. Because I think Ben Johnson should go to the Carolina Panthers with Bryce Young. And that's the last matchup. The Commanders I'm having a tough time with. Sean, help me out here.
This feels like a coordinator hire just because it seems like it would be hard. They probably don't want to go retread after they had the most retread of all retread coaches with Ron Rivera.
Yeah.
Honestly, and you know, I know some people here wouldn't like it, but this does seem like a Bobby Slowick type of job where you're hiring a guy who's like a little too inexperienced, but it's kind of a guy that would say yes to the job and to the opportunity. Maybe whoever the Titans don't hire also goes to the Commanders or can go to the Commanders. But it seems like a Ravens defensive coordinator, Mike McDonald, if he doesn't get maybe the Seahawks job or the Raiders or one of those slightly better jobs. This is kind of the safety school of all these guys looking to be a head coach.
I got to say, I don't know that McDonald's the move for anybody yet. I could be wrong on that. You know, use this against me all you want. But I think to what you said, the offensive-minded guy is the way to go here. So, yeah, I'll endorse Slowick to Washington. They have the number 2 overall pick. They're going to be taking a quarterback with that pick. Yeah. Especially now that the Patriots said, yeah, we're taking a quarterback too. The Commanders are going to have FOMO about the possibility of what happens if they pass on a guy. So, Gerard Mayo at his introductory press conference, by the way, yesterday said, yeah, we're drafting a quarterback, like in as many words.
Yeah.
So yeah, bring in the guy who's done well with a rookie quarterback this year.
Or new ownership, and we saw this with the Panthers and did not work out, but new ownership maybe just drops a crazy money to go get like Mike Vrabel or something like that.
Or John Taffer.
Get a program guy.
Yeah, John Taffer.
Yes.
We didn't even mention Mike Vrabel along the way.
It's hard to find the great fit for him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little bit of like, I think he would work at any of these jobs, but I don't know what he's looking for.
Chargers are also the fix because the quarterback. He's had a terrible quarterback situation for much of his career. You know, like he made it work with Tannehill. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in and text in. It happened again. The gesture that drives this state crazy. What should be done about it? Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, the spirit of radio. Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Texans Ravens on Saturday. We're going to have our own post game show here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It's going to be me, Michael Connor, Josh Beard for a couple of hours after the game. So make sure you tune into that. I believe that we will also be up on the Twitch. You can
see our live reactions to the game as it happens. If you're one of those people, you like watching people watch things. Speaking of watching things, last night, I'm sure that Sean Mapes watched his beloved Texas Longhorns blow a massive lead against
False.
The...
I did not watch this game.
You didn't watch it? Okay.
No, I'm out.
You're
been,
out?
Been out, but yes.
Against the surprisingly good in the Big 12 Central Florida Golden Knights. But that wasn't the worst thing that happened in the game. Here's Texas head coach slash Gus Fring from Breaking Bad lookalike, Rodney Terry, on something horrible that happened.
You know, I'm a big believer in, you know, you win the right way, you lose the right way. And, you know, I always tell my guys, you know, whether you win or lose, you win the right way. You lose the right way. You carry yourself the right way. You don't go through the handshake line or proud to get into the handshake line and have about six or seven guys putting the horns down. We don't do that, you know, because when you do those kind of things, it looks very classless, and it also looks like you were just hoping to win. We never go into games trying to hope to win. We go into games expecting to win. So we don't act like that. You know, we expect to win. We don't jump up and down like we won a national championship. We sure don't step on anyone's home court deal and act crazy and try to show them up in any way. We don't do that. You know, so that's what I was angry about. And I was letting those guys know, you don't do that. You know, you guys won. Hey, we shake, you know, shake your hand, tip our hat to you. But we're not going to let you act that way in our building. You're not going to do that. You're not going to put your horns down and do all that nonsense.
This is sanctimonious Coach K bullcrap. And I got to say, the majority of that answer is him just entirely diminishing Central Florida for winning. Oh, you're celebrating like you won the national title. Oh, you were clearly thinking you weren't going to win that game. That's why you're doing horns down. No, here's the thing. And look, some people do get really mad about the horns down thing, but it's because Texas people respond as aggressively as Rodney Terry just did, not just in the handshake line, but in the press conference. If you think, Rodney Terry, that this is a move that is going to stop somebody, you are clearly mistaken. Maybe Rodney Terry needs to have an internship with the Gallant family. Now, in the Gallant family, our love language is annoying the absolute hell out of each other. And anyone who cracks, even the slightest, they will be pounced upon with more annoying things. Like, we love to annoy each other. My dad, my sister, me, we all troll the hell out of each other whenever we can. I was iron sharpened by the sharpest of iron. And I think Rodney Terry needs like a weekend trip with the Gallant family. Because I feel like he doesn't understand that if you bring this stuff up, like this horns down thing being a bad thing, you bring it up, it's just going to be brought up more. Because people know it gets under your skin and that it drives you crazy. And it is weird that the horns down has become an offensive gesture. Like the middle finger, that's bad, right? It means bleep you. What other hand signals are bad? I suppose if you got the circle, you're holding the circle below your belt. It used to be like you could punch somebody in the arm, but now it's like white nationalism or something like that, I guess. I don't know. The peace sign in certain countries is offensive. It's not offensive in the United States of America.
This one?
Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah.
Good on radio. Watch the Twitch.
Yeah. Honestly,
that one's I'm two not
even,
hands,
we might have needed to censor that one. I don't even know. look, the Coug symbol is the shocker, but it's the Shaw Star.
That one's also a certain... In certain neighborhoods, certain gang signs. And then in other neighborhoods, other gang signs.
Right.
Well,
every single Texas school has a gang sign. Like the Aggies Gig'em is like a thumb that you, I guess, insert into a frog. Not sure which end, exactly.
I'll ask Josh Beard.
He would know.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's
the front? I hope it's the
I
front.
I hope it's the front. It's weird either way. That's their thing.
But yeah, the
Guns up?
Texas Tech has the guns.
I mean, that's
up.
Offensive because it's guns.
Yes.
And guns are bad.
Yes. What about Columbine, Texas Tech?
I know. It's like they forgot.
The Baylor has the little bear paw. Has the
rawr.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the worst one. This is the TCU horned frog one. Where it's like just your two fingers.
It's the tiniest horn possible.
Out.
Because
it's also hard to do it upside down. Which maybe that's a good thing.
That's probably what they were thinking of the whole time.
It's hard to do it upside down.
Are there any other bad hand gestures that we're missing? 713-780-3776 to call and to text in. Yeah, there's the Italian flip off.
Yeah.
Which is just it's like you're brushing your beard backwards.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It's funny that this one is what it is. I don't think as many people get offended by the horns down as we are made to believe, but the ones who do get so angry about it that it makes them such an easy target to continue doing it. The only way, if you're an Astros fan that's hearing about sign-stealing scandals, if you're a person that sees the horns down, the only way to have people stop bringing it up or making fun of you is to ignore it. And it's shocking the amount of people that do not understand this. It's 2024. Everyone is trying to antagonize everybody. We all hate each other because our society is slowly collapsing before the non-human intelligence takes us over and wipes us all out. Or the artificial intelligence. It doesn't matter. One or the other.
Yeah, I would just like to thank soon-to-be-fired Rodney Terry.
You think he's going to get canned?
He is definitely going to get canned.
Wow.
Paul, they're 1-3 in conference.
They're going to bring back Shaka Smart?
Hell no. He was even worse than Rodney Terry.
How about they bring back Chris Beard?
Honestly, like...
I mean, he's had some time at Texas Tech.
Stop
drinking, I guess.
No one
drinks in Lubbock.
He got a job immediately from Ole Miss. Like,
oh, yeah.
So he's hireable.
That's where he is now. I thought he went to Texas Tech. Yeah.
He's hireable.
Just do what the Red Sox brought back Alex Cora.
Yeah.
It was fine.
Yeah.
Cora
liked
drinking.
Yeah, Rodney Terry, not a great coach. Made the Elite Eight with Chris Beard's guys, really. Just kind of along for the ride. But also then did blow the Miami game to go to the Final Four. So tip of the cap to him. He's made the tournament once in like 7 years as being a head coach. Like I don't know why he... This is where promoting the interim goes wrong, folks. Don't always promote the interim just because
he looks like Gus Fring.
And just because the vibes are high at the end of the year. It's like, maybe do some vetting. But yeah.
John Taffer?
He'd be great. I would move to Austin and go to every
No, don't do that. No, we need you here. John Taffer, disregard that. It's the Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Sean Mace behind the glass. Up next, you know, I hate the N-word narrative when it comes to sports talk radio. And there is a really annoying narrative when it comes to the Texans and Ravens game that we have to break down. We'll discuss next. It's the Paul Gallant Show.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5, and so is your wife.
When I buy my wife, hang like sleeve of wizard.